This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. My guest today is director, producer, and writer Jimmy Jenkins. Jimmy is the director of the new sports documentary, Nothing But a Winner, Fathom Entertainment film that will be released nationwide on July 31st. You may have caught our previous Sports Jam where we had Caleb Castile, who's one of the producers of this wonderful documentary. Jimmy, thanks for being here on Sports Jam.
Thank you for having me. We appreciate all the support you're giving to this film.
It's a wonderful documentary, and as I mentioned to Caleb, I'm a huge history buff. So this film really gets to the history of college football and the Alabama Crimson Tide program, the greatest college football program there is. But you directed this film, and I've heard you say you always wanted Alabama to lose on the football field. How did this happen, Jimmy?
You know, I'm not from Alabama. I'm from Washington, D.C. And sometimes, you know, you get tired of people winning all the time. Me growing up, they won so much, I was tired of them winning. And I was just like the rest of the country outside of Alabama. Everybody wants Alabama to lose. And it wasn't until I did this story that I realized, you know, why they're so great.
The inside story of two wonderful eras of Alabama football, one under Coach Paul Bear Bryant and the other under Nick Saban.
Touchdown! Alabama wins!
Alabama, without bragging, is the greatest college football program in the history of college football.
And Alabama is not just football. It's just a way of life.
Hey, if we don't win a national championship, that's a bad Alabama season.
And the Crimson Tide has once again ascended to the top of the college football mountain.
You know, we always talk about climbing the mountain. But what they don't realize is when you successfully climb the mountain, you become the mountain and everybody's shooting at you.
Two really different programs, but I've heard you mention in other interviews the same formula when it comes to winning.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my big takeaways. Because the same principles and the same process that Coach Bryant put his players through was the exact same thing that Saban put his players through. And then when you kind of watch the doc and you listen to both of their players give reverence to them, they both sound very, very eerie similar. It's unique to see how both of these coaches had similar principles. And it made me realize no matter what you're doing in life, it's a process to winning. It don't matter what job you got, where you work at. If you want to be successful, there's only one way to do it. And that's one thing I took away.
One thing I take away is Coach Bear Bryant saying, you know, I don't have black and white football players. I just have football players. And I know the African-American story of this documentary is what got you interested in this, because we've seen other films about Alabama football, and we don't want it just to be about the wins. You wanted to tell the story from the people who lived during a time where the civil rights movement was at its peak. Some players played during it, some a little bit after. And the people that are in this film, not all of them are household names, but were right there when it mattered. And now Alabama football may be 85% black on their football team. We wouldn't have a Jalen Hurts who's playing for the Philadelphia Eagles, Super Bowl champion quarterback who spent time at Alabama. We wouldn't have these players if it weren't for the people that you spoke to in the documentary.
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, for me, it's very important for us to have a through line or for you to take a specific angle, because Alabama has over 100 years of history. It's very difficult to try to tell one story, the whole story, in an hour and 40 minutes. It's impossible. It's so much stuff we could have talked about. It's so many stories. You guys got, like, you know, Kenny Stabler and just so many great players that played from the 60s, 70s, even before then, from Frank Thomas, from the first national championships. You just couldn't fit everything in. You had to take a specific angle. And I've seen a lot of Alabama docs, but I never seen an Alabama documentary told from the perspective of the players that integrated it. And, you know, I reached out to a lot of these people and they were a little shocked. They're like, you know, nobody ever really wants to talk to us. Why do you want to talk to us? It's like, well, I think your story is important. And it was unique because, you know, it was the style. It was a choice we made. But, you know, even some people were still upset when the trailer came out that it was a whole lot of black players. A couple comments was like, why is it only black players? It's just the angle we took. And there are white players in it as well. But, you know, it's been a hundred, it's been many, many Alabama football docs that have been filled with white players. We just did one that features the black ones.
We'll be walking out of here as a national champion.
Coach Bryant is the greatest coach of all time.
Well, he didn't just coach football. He coached life as well.
I expect nothing less.
He's not coming down to pat you on the back. He coming down to kick your butt.
The one thing about Coach was, it was tough, but you knew he loved you.
He had recreated Alabama football. It wasn't black versus white. We were all Crimson Tide.
And I say segregation now and segregation forever.
If you N-words play, we will shoot and kill every one of you.
We had that assurance that he had our backs.
Being an African-American quarterback and starting in the SEC, you needed a certain type of person, character-wise.
12 o'clock at night, I lie in my bed, and I just lay there, and I cry, and I pray.
It was a vehicle for us to have a quality of life as American citizens.
I wish you hadn't asked me about that. I still dream about it.
The man has made history.
I think I love college football because you have an opportunity to change lives.
Coach Saban is the greatest leader of men I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's about integrity. You know, that's doing things when no one's watching.
You have to iron everything that comes to you.
Commitment, discipline, effort, toughness, and pride. Those are values that I can take in any avenue of life that I go.
I'm so proud of this guy for what he's done this year. I can't even tell you.
I never really realized the impact that Alabama football has not only meant to the state, but the entire country.
If you believe in yourself, have dedication and pride, never quit, you'll be a winner.
Cause I ain't never been nothing but a winner.
You know, this is one of the reasons why I enjoyed the film so much, because it does give you a different perspective, and you kind of feel like you're in Paul Bear Bryant's program, right? They take you inside. And it's not all pretty, right? It's a very emotional film. You can see that playing for Coach Bryant meant a lot to these players. And maybe for the first time, they get to express that to everyone.
Yeah, yeah. It's a couple of players that play for Bear Bryant. When you see grown men come to tears, it says a lot. It says a lot about who these men were. You know, these black players, a few of them came to tears when they're thinking about their coach. And, you know, I played college football. I didn't play at Alabama. I was never that good, but I played at a small level. And coaches are just like fathers in most instances. And what we learned is that Coach Bryant was a father to a whole lot of these black players and helped raise them into the men they are today.
What was your first reaction when you saw everything put together?
Oh, that's a great question. I guess for a while, it took us so long to get the story right. And so when I finally saw it come together, it really didn't hit me until the premiere in Birmingham. When I was sitting in the theaters and I saw the reaction from the people and how they felt and their cheering, their emotion toward the film, I said, wait. Because, you know, Alabama does nothing second class. Everything's first class when it comes to football. And I was nervous. I'm like, man, are they going to like this? Are they going to approve it? But for them to give a standing ovation and to say that this went above and beyond anything we ever thought. Because when we first put this thing out, people were like, what is this? Like, who said y'all can do this? Like, who gave approval for this? And I think when it came out, people Wednesday night in Birmingham, they were very excited, and it was a phenomenal night.
There are two families that are very responsible for a lot of what went on in Nothing But a Winner, the Humphreys family and the Castile family. As I mentioned, I spoke to Caleb on a previous Sports Jam. You have Jeremiah Castile talking about playing, and that's Caleb's father talking about playing. In fact, he had three interceptions in Coach Bryant's final game, the 82 Liberty Bowl. And then you have players who, you have the Humphrey family who played under Coach Saban, and they're still playing for the Baltimore Ravens. So you have history connected. It's a bridge between the past and even the future, not just the present, but the future as we move ahead. It's a great thread. And congratulations on that, Jimmy.
Thank you. I don't take it lightly. And even for you to watch the film and enjoy it, and for you to be supportive, I'm just really, really grateful, because you never want to assume that just because you did it, people are going to like it. And when you put your life into something for 3 years, you truly are emotional and connected to it. And you're worried. You're worried if people will like it, and you're worried if it will resonate. And for a guy like me, you know, my career is just starting to get off the ground. I've been doing this for a while, but, you know, I'm 34 years old now. And like, I just told the Alabama story. Like, that's a big thing for me. And for people to actually like the film, it'll send me on a trajectory that I can only thank God for. And I am so honored and just so excited that I got to partner with the Castile family and the Humphrey family. And how about Jeremiah Castile that last game? What he did, and I don't know if you remember in the film, he talked about what he did before the game in the locker room and what he said to Coach Bryant, then to go out and do that. Three picks. I don't think I've ever seen nobody catch three picks. You ever seen that in one game?
Not really. Not in the big game, that's for sure.
Right? Ed Reed might have did it, maybe. Now, I'm sorry to bring up Ed Reed. I know you're a Steelers fan. You probably don't like it.
Hey, I think he was one of the greatest ever, right? I put him with Mel Blunt, you know,
as
great secondary player. By the way, Ravens for me, Jack Lambert and Ray Lewis are the two greatest linebackers I saw play in their era, right?
Oh, beautiful.
You know, because so I have respect for the Ravens, even though I'm a Steelers fan. Tell us a little bit more about working with the Castile and Humphreys families.
Oh, man, when you talk about families full of character, families full of just great people, they're just great, you know? And when I say they're giving us all the support we needed, I really love Bobby Humphrey and I really love Jeremiah Castile, man. Like, they seem like, I feel like I'm hanging with my dad when I'm with them. They're both God-fearing. They're both, when you're around them, they stand for something. They're both Christian men, which I'm very attracted to. And I love what they stand for. And of course, Caleb is a good friend of mine. I'm just so honored to work with him. And Marlon, you know, I can't say enough about him allowing us to make this film and giving us the funding to do it. So I'm eternally grateful for the Castiles and the Humphrey family for providing me with this opportunity.
Play fake. Wilson, pressure. Has to get rid of it, and that's picked off the other way. Marlon Humphrey, pick six.
What was Marlon's response to the final product?
He liked it. He said, yo, this is, he was really shocked. Cause I don't think he never really, well, he's so busy doing so much stuff. So he never really like watches the cuts, but he watched this one and he came to the premiere, red carpet premiere. And, you know, he liked it. He enjoyed it and he's been proud about it. And, Kalen DeBoer is going to make like the freshman, I think is going to be mandatory for the freshmen to watch it when they come into the football program, so they can understand the type of program they're coming into.
Yeah, it's perfect film for them to watch, also to get pumped, right? I mean, the emotion, the roller coaster of emotions are wonderful. And that's what you want, right? You want to be entertained. You know, when you see a film, you go, football, maybe it's the same thing. This one isn't, right? This one is definitely not. But you're no stranger when it comes to doing projects about sports. So how is this different than some of your other films?
Yeah, I've been able to tell a lot of cool sports stories. What's different about this was the biggest one I ever told. Like, this is like telling the Yankees. It's like telling the Lakers, if not bigger. And so this one just came with a bit more pressure. Now, I did do a big project on my hometown. That was a lot of pressure too, but this one came with a bit more pressure. Because they have no connection to me. So if this movie's bad, they're just going to shun it and put it down. And it was more so dealing with the pressure that I couldn't tell a bad story, because the University of Alabama football program is not going to accept anything mediocre. And that would probably be the end of my career. If this movie, people didn't like it, it would probably be like the end of my documentary making career. So I don't know if they're going to like it. They liked it at the premiere, so maybe they like it on the 31st too.
I think they will. And the Comeback Kids, the middle school basketball story, was one of your films. And then you had another documentary, Basketball County in the Water on Showtime. You worked with executive producer and NBA superstar Kevin Durant. So you're kind of used to working with these stars. And how has it been for you? Like you said, you did play the game, so you know the game. But when you have the pressure of working with the guys who actually did the work on the field, I would imagine it's a little different.
Yeah. You know, it is a little different. Just I'm used to working with, like you said, like the Kevin Durants and all those NBA stars, NFL stars. I think a big thing that helps me is just like, I'm one of them too. Maybe I didn't play at that level, but I'm an athlete. Athletes all have a connection and they have a common thread. And for me, it was just, it was like I'm talking to my homie, like I'm talking to my friend. It's like I'm talking to my OG or my uncle. And when I seen him, it was just, what's up, man? Like our first time, a lot of them is our first time meeting, but it's, what's up, dog? What's up, man? Thank you for doing this. And just, I guess our energies, they felt my energy and they felt comfortable. And I think that's what made the story special, was all the interviewees just really opened up.
You didn't get a chance to meet Paul Bear Bryant, but you certainly got your chance to sit down with Nick Saban and hang out with Coach Saban. Now, you know, just making commercials and making us laugh and you know, being a football analyst, but really he is the top of the heap when it comes to winning national championships. What's your opinion of Coach Saban and seeing a different side, I would imagine, that many people, you know, don't get to see?
Yeah, it was funny. After the premiere, a few people came up to me and said they never heard Saban talk like that in an interview. They never heard him share his story like that. And for me, being in his presence, that was the only one where I got nervous when he walked in. That was the only one. I can just imagine what it's like being like a player. And then it makes me, I can't imagine playing for Coach Paul Bear Bryant. Like, he walked in the room and it's like everything changed. The atmosphere changed. People were scared to move. And it's like, we didn't even work for him. But it's just his presence, his aura, and his greatness. When greatness walks in the room, you feel it. And when he walked into the room, we felt the greatness. And I'm just honored that he might not even ever remember me, but I'm glad that I was in his presence for that time. And I got to learn from him and talk to him. And maybe he'll remember me, who knows, but I enjoyed it.
When you have a positive experience with anyone that you meet and first impressions, sometimes you become a fan or you check them out. Have you become a fan of Alabama football now?
I am a huge Alabama fan. Like my dad would tell you, I don't miss a game now.
Isn't that something, right? You were rooting for them to fall, and now you can't miss it.
Can't miss it, yeah. You know, now, mind you, my main team is the Maryland Terrapins. That's where I grew up. That's who I go. Shout out to Coach Michael Lockley, who's also in the documentary. But the Terps got to get some winning going. We got to figure that out. So we ain't, but the Crimson Tide, they win, man. And so it's Maryland and Alabama now. So
I can understand that, Jimmy. And that's a fair response, too, because I can see, you know, once you do three years on a project, it's going to make you become closer and closer to this program. Do you anticipate, did you get the impression that it will continue now to be this powerhouse now that Saban has left, you know, 1 year without him already now? What was the impression that you got about the program and where it's headed?
I think that it's tough to fill Saban's shoes. Very, very tough. And it's never going to be another Saban. And I think sometimes when you're a fan of when you come up under Bear Bryant or Nick Saban, you get spoiled. And now they just got to come back to reality. It's like, this is reality for everybody now. It's just reality. And I think that for us, I think Kalen DeBoer is going to do great. But like, they got to understand, like 8-3, 9-2, 10-3, 11-2, that's still great season, man. They've built such an appetite for only national championships. But so I'm not going to go out and say they're about to win another national championship. They could win it, but I still think they're going to always be dominant. They're always going to be one of the favorites in the SEC. For the next few years, because Kalen's he's won everywhere he's won. So You know, last year he might have had a lot of L's, but that's a lot coming in, a lot of pressure. But going forward, I think it's going to be a whole different story.
You're one of the founders and co-owners of Gold Street Productions with your older brother, Joshua Jenkins. Mm-hmm. What have you learned from Joshua, and how close are you?
Oh, my brother is, that's my Ace Boon Coon. You know, when you see this movie, it starts off, the credits is the Jenkins brothers. My brother is the reason I'm doing this. My brother is the reason why I decided to tell stories. My brother is the reason I played football. My brother is the reason I believed in myself. My brother is everything to me. My brother, I don't got no kids or nothing like that. So if something ever happened to me, everything go to my brother. So, like, you know, he's always had my back, and he's always took a back seat to me when he didn't have to. And he's always just been my, like, support. Even when he didn't have to, he's been doing it longer than me. He's better than me, but he let me go be better because I'm his little brother when he could have went and been the best. And so I'm just grateful for him. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be doing this.
You're obviously very humble too. This love of family that you have for your brother, I think it comes through in the family of Alabama football. You see a family type of situation. I guess we could say that about, you know, all programs, that they become family. Certainly helps when you win, right? Yes. I want to talk a little bit about your background. You started directing and producing back in 2013 at Black Entertainment Network, or BET, and the Tyler Perry Studios. What'd you learn during that time?
Man, I learned so much under Tyler Perry, just watching him every day in his process. And it made me see that it was possible. Sometimes I doubted if I can go actually make movies and go have a studio or go do what I'm doing now. But me seeing Tyler Perry do it and to know he did it at such a young age, it gave me the confidence I knew I needed to go be successful. And I'm just glad that I had the opportunity to work there. I tell people all the time, I quit the job because he inspired me too much. I think anybody that gives you that vision and you know you can do it, you can't stay in one spot. And so he was such an inspiration to me. It made me quit his studio and it made me go try to do what he's doing. And I might not never be as big as him, but I'm telling stories and I'm making movies. And so I give a big credit to him for just opening the door for me.
Has he seen Nothing But a Winner yet?
Yes. We were about to, Tyler Perry, you know, they're doing a ton of projects. They are about to start doing documentaries. This was going to be one of them. It was very close, but we ended up not doing it because, like I said, his first audience is in sports. But eventually, I believe they'll get into sports documentaries. But their studio, they really liked it. They loved it. We went down there. We screened it at the studio, and they really, really loved it and just gave me a ton of support and guidance. And so, much love to Tyler Perry Studios, man. They are phenomenal, and much love to Tyler Perry for just helping young creators like myself, especially young Black creators like myself, find a way.
3 years of your life into Nothing But a Winner. But now people are finally going to get to see the product. What's next, Jimmy?
Well, God willing, God will allow me to keep doing this thing and give me another day and allow me to wake up and to go tell my stories. I have a ton of new ones. I'm working now with Reggie Hunland and Byron Phillips and Original Productions out in L.A. So we have a very special project. I'm working with Will Packer out of Atlanta, who's another big producer. We have a 4-piece series that we're working on now. And then I film my new movie, God With Us, next month, with Lil Rel, Rotimi, Greg Allen Williams, Aspen Kennedy, and a slew of other talent. And so, man, God's so good to me. And I'm so blessed because I don't deserve to get all this stuff that God has been bringing my way. I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough for it, but he's made a way for me. And I'm just grateful and thankful that I'm able to do what I love. This is what I wake up and do every day, man. Like, I don't go to nobody's job. I just wake up and I tell stories every day. Like, I'm so blessed. I'm so fortunate. And I can't thank God enough for that, man.
I tell stories every day too on the radio, but my projects don't get, well, WBGO does go worldwide, but it's a whole different story for you. You know, when you look back at, you know, what you've done so far, do the projects now come to you? Or do you get ideas and say, I want to do something on this? Where are you at in your career?
Both. I do both. Like, God with us is something I created, and that's something I took out, got the funding for independently. But then there's other projects, like Alabama was brought to me. The project with Will Packer was brought to me. But the project I'm doing with Reggie Hunlin and Byron Phillips, I took it to them. So it's just a balance. Every project's not the same, but major shout out to my manager, Tyler Kroos. He is a phenomenal guy, and he brings me a lot of cool projects.
Are you allowed to tell us a little bit more about God with Us?
I sure can, yeah. So for me personally, it's a narrative film. It's not a documentary, but all of my friends growing up, I grew up in a very Black neighborhood. And a lot of people, they just don't understand the Bible. If they read it, they don't really retain it. They get it, but they say, okay, but what does that mean? So for me, I grew up in a church. I wanted to be able to make the Bible really, really relevant to my generation and my friends. And so what I felt a calling from God is to take Bible stories and make them present day, put it in the neighborhood so my friends can really understand what the Bible means. And so God with Us is just a modern day nativity story. Just thinking like Jesus never came. He's finally coming now to the hood. And he's born to a young girl named Mary, who's a virgin, and her boyfriend's named Joseph. And they live in the same neighborhood.
Can't wait to see this. It sounds extremely interesting. And, I guess faith, as you mentioned, has been a big part of your journey. Take us back to your hometown, because it was a part of, prior projects that you've done and how it's impacted your life, your background.
Yeah, sure.
Prince George's County, Maryland. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of great people. Kevin Durant's from here. Sugar Ray Leonard's from here. Martin Lawrence is from here. So many people. It's been phenomenal. It's been great. And I'm from a very, very unique town, and I'm so proud I'm from, and it's the best place in the world.
As you were watching this film, even though Maryland's number one, did you say, boy, I'd like to put on the Crimson Tide uniform just maybe once or twice?
If I had to choose, don't tell nobody this, I would love to go right and Bryant Denny. Like, now I go to every Maryland game. We get lucky to fill up the bottom bowl, that's good for us. But I got to go to Bryant Denny, and I was on the field, and oh my goodness, if I could play it, first of all, I'll probably use the bathroom on myself as soon as I walk out there. I wouldn't be able to play. It just makes me think of the greats that played there. They play under a lot of pressure, and you can't lose down there. So I would like to play one game, but I don't know how well I do.
Caleb Castile mentioned that a good showing on July 31st in theaters nationwide, and you can get your tickets right now, will mean that it's going to go through the weekend and more. So obviously you're still hoping that this turnout on July 31st is massive, right?
Yeah. We need everybody to go to the theaters, nothingbutawinner.com, to find out where it's playing near you. It should be just about near everybody in America some way, somehow. But please, please go out to see it. Even if you don't, just buy a ticket. You'd be helping a great project that can help a lot of people. And you got to see it. If you don't see it in theaters, it's going to be a long time before you can see it. And so,
can you explain that, Jimmy? Because I don't get it. I'm not in the film industry. Okay. I know when I see a good film, and I'm pretty good at picking out, excellent films and documentaries. And this is one of them. So I'm saying to myself, why is there this pressure for the 31st? Why can't we just have a regular release of Nothing But a Winner?
Well, I think that the world doesn't really understand the magnitude of Alabama football. They'll know soon. But, whenever you put something out in theaters, you can't just take it out of theaters and go straight to a streaming service or whatever. It's a process. And so even with us, there's going to be a process that we have to go through before it can be seen.
And is that because of rights and all
yes,
kinds of stuff?
Yes, correct. Rights, yes. Right. So it's a lot of moving pieces that happen, and it's a process. You got to wait till the white rights come back to you to put it out.
Like the music industry, right? It's just
right, correct.
It can be a real pain at times, right?
Right, right. The theaters have the rights to it for a little bit, for a while.
If you could spend a day, family not included, go back in time, or present day, if you could spend a day with someone in sports or entertainment, who would that be and why?
Oh, man, that's easy. Bear Bryant, no question asked. No question asked. No question asked, Bear Bryant. Just because, maybe just big part because I did this film, but he seems like the greatest leader of men that has ever coached a football team, you know, that I've learned about. So if I could spend the day with Bear Bryant in his office, sitting on his couch that I'd be sucking down into while he smokes his Chesterfield cigarette, I would love that. And just ask him questions. I would love that.
Isn't it amazing how there are certain coaches that you would just run through a wall for? I think of Vince Lombardi, right? I even think of Lou Holtz at Notre Dame, where he said, you know, save Jimmy Johnson for me. And while they were playing Miami, and the guys would get all fired up. And, the list goes on and on. But coaches, they are leaders, and they are molders of men. And hopefully kids growing up get an opportunity to have a good coach at whatever level it might be, because that can change their whole life. Unfortunately, that's not always the case, right, Jimmy?
Right, correct. Very true. Yeah, I've had a ton of coaches, but there are something special about the few like that really make an impact on your life. And good coaches are typically good men. I haven't met a good coach that wasn't a good man. You know, I haven't had many, I didn't have any women coaches, but I'm speaking for the man. Great coaches are great men. And I want to be a great man. That's what I want to be. When people look at me, I want people to look at my character, look at who I am, look at my principles, and call me a great man. And so that's the blessing in that.
Well, I ask you to watch, go to the theaters on July 31st and watch Nothing But a Winner, the story of the Alabama Crimson Tide football team and the programs of Coach Paul Bear Bryant and Nick Saban. And we've been thrilled to have our guest today on Sports Jam, the director, producer, and writer, Jimmy Jenkins, who is the director of this sports dot Nothing But a Winner. Congratulations and continued success, Jimmy.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows, including the one with Caleb Castile, at wbgo.org/sportsjam or wbgo.org/studios. You can also find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.